Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Thanks for joining me for another Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Really appreciate all of you joining us. If you haven't done so, if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so. Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And please rate and review the show. And of course, you can find all of our programming, CannabisRadio.com. My next guest is responsible for planning, creating, implementing, optimizing, and integrating the strategic vision of our featured company here, Monarch Technologies, and has recently launched a closed-loop mobile app solely for the cannabis industry. And we're going to learn more about that because this particular app is suitable not only for dispensary purchases, but for any scenario where money needs to exchange hands within seconds. That technology is called BFLI, and we're here with Monarch Technologies co-founder and CEO, Christian Fia. Christian, thanks for being on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited for the conversation.
Absolutely. There is amazing points in terms of banking. Obviously, we're still waiting on a number of things when it comes to rescheduling. And we know that there will be some tax benefits that will come from rescheduling from the HHS recommendation to the DEA. We still are waiting for things about that. Of course, you know, nothing with a Safe Banking Act couldn't have solved yet, but we're still, there's a lot of things being done in terms of what people can try to do to help further cannabis banking causes. And right now you have the Pay for Your Weed option, which is a mobile cashless payments app, which is BFLI. Take us through what the app and the idea of putting this closed loop and also making it available for just cannabis consumers.
Yeah, sure. So just a little bit of background myself. I've been in banking and payments and fintech for, gosh, about 30 years. I had one of the first processing companies back in the mid-90s for ACH. So moving money, you know, that was really, you know, how I cut my teeth. We did, over the last 20 years, we've probably done about 75 different bank integrations, both nationally and internationally, or banking systems. I mean, any type of integration with a financial platform, you know, we've done. So I was also a Visa MasterCard auditor for a number of years with PCI compliance. So when I got together with the initial investors on Monarch about 5 years ago, we said, look, the mission here is how do we move money legally and compliantly in an industry that, you know, really doesn't value that, right? From a merchant standpoint, from an operator standpoint, you know, cash is king, right? So how do you change hearts and minds and move that primary cash movement into digital payments? Well, the problem was 5 years ago is, hey, digital payments sound great, but I don't have a bank account, right? And if you look at FinCEN, right, the Financial Crime Network, they currently say that there's about 750 banks that take cannabis, they have cannabis programs. It's actually not that much. It's about 200 to 250 banks, because what these banks have to do is they have to file SAR, suspicious activity reports. Now, when the cannabis operators, not knowing the compliance and legality, is if they went down to B of A and Chase and Citibank and they open an account and they are not necessarily forthcoming with information on what they're doing. So they get the account open, they do some business for a couple of months. And what happens, you know, on a quarterly basis, these banks will come in and do sweeps. Their regulators come in, they do sweeps. and determine, hey, this is not a compliant bank solution. So those banks have to file those SARs, even though they never had a compliant banking program for cannabis in the first place. So as I said, there's about 200 to 250 banks right now that will, you know, accept or have those provisions for cannabis banking. So when we started, we interviewed about 20, 25 banks. You know, the general theme at the time was, hey, we're looking at it. We'd like to do this at some point. We just don't have BSA in place, the Bank Security Act. We just don't have our policies and compliance in place. Check back with us in 6 months or a year.
So leaves it up to the industry itself to go ahead and self-police. We've been talking about that with compliance for a long time now. And, you know, the one thing is that if we want to go ahead and talk to banks in the first place, they're all going to go ahead and follow what Congress is going to offer. So for American Bankers Association, they have said before that, you know, to be able to serve financial needs of those for the cannabis industry, they don't have an issue on the moral issues raised, but they expect Congress and regulatory agencies to provide greater legal clarity to banks and operating in states where cannabis has been legalized for medical or adult use, and more are going to be greenlit, as we even know now in November with the current ballot initiatives for Florida. I know South Dakota, I think, is also put in there as well. Now, when I look at that, you know, there's also the issues where other banks are trying to work with other companies. So I know that one company we featured on our Blunt Business program here is Green Thumb Industries. They just received a credit line now from Valley National Bank and Federal Bank publicly traded. For an example, now be able to go ahead, have a 5-year maturity, cash to pay off its debt due in April 2025. Then there's also other banks that have put other significant offerings of money that loans and the availability of getting credit lines. So there are those that, you know, if there is a bank that's going to go ahead and offer a credit line or offer some kind of financial assistance in that way, it becomes headlines. And unfortunately, I mean, I would imagine that there's a lot of companies that don't want to have those kind of headlines.
When you say the companies don't want to have those headlines, you're talking about the banks?
It's such a spotlight being put on companies when they're able to get a bank to go ahead and green light a loan.
Yeah, I mean, that's a major pain point. You know, I was just at the PBC conference last week in D.C. They have that once a year. It was the fifth time they had it. And I was one of the panelists talking about, you know, why cannabis payments are so difficult. And, you know, several of the people we talked to is, you know, usually in this industry, banks will only give loans or credit lines based on real estate backed credentials. And, you know, just getting a regular loan, like going down to the bank based on receivables, based on profitability of revenue, doesn't exist. So, yeah, I mean, I agree to your point. When a bank or a financial institution or a lender comes out and says, look, we're going to do cannabis lending, not based strictly on collateral based on real estate, it's definitely big news. You know, people are going to jump all over that, especially because, you know, these operators are cash crunched. I mean, they're surviving literally month to month, and they need quick, you know, short-term operational cash to get them through the hump. So it's a huge area, you know, and we've looked at that in partnering with those types of companies within our mobile app. We're actually in process of doing that right now for loans. Because as I said, the mobile app, really what it is, it's Venmo for cannabis, right? That's the easiest way to describe it, right? And we were the first company that was actually approved on the App Store, both Apple and Google, to do cannabis payments. You know, we got that approval over 2.5 years ago. You know, we kind of took a fork in the road years ago and said, look, where's this industry going? The movement of cash is, you know, it's cash is king. Still 50% of the transactions in this industry are cash. Another certain percentage are using alternative payment methods like point of banking. You know, look, you cannot do a credit card transaction and you can do a debit card transaction. So it's really, cannabis payments are not necessarily difficult. It's the mindset and the resistance to change and say, look, I need to innovate. I need to look at other solutions beyond what an agent is telling me. Oh yeah, you can do debit card, you can do credit card. And the operator is basically saying, look, I have to take that, even though I'm not compliant or that might be an illegal solution, but I have to take that just to keep my doors open because the guy down the street is taking credit cards. Therefore, I got to do that to increase my basket size.
So what I wanted to make much of is that as we're looking at what changes might come to the future, but it is about the here and now. And when I look at what the overall cannabis banking scenario is, I'm looking also where I'm taking from that story was about from News Cannabis Ventures. They put out a recent newsletter and they make the point now that they feel like even if Congress decides to put out safe banking or safer banking, that they feel like the DEA is going to be the route of least resistance to have rescheduling happen so that banks will then be a little bit more meaningable or more pliable to go and work with cannabis companies. So that's the point of coming from there. I see that there. But getting back to the app and what you're answering right now, the solutions you're doing as we speak, from the folks at Benzinga, there was a recent article that talked about your new mobile cashless payments app, BFLI, available now on Apple's App Store and Google's Play Store. And you were quoted by them, and you had mentioned the fact that, you know, the need, quote, to convert payments from a cashless king mentality to an automated compliant digital system is inevitable. And we'll talk about the part where you are now partnered with Desert Hot Springs, California. We'll talk about that in a moment. I want to touch upon that just a little bit later on. But what I do want to ask about is what they talk about in the story here is the fact that, you know, as you said, everybody's relying upon looking for more credit card solutions. But in this Benzinga article, they also mentioned about how the Federal Reserve says that the value of core non-cash payments now has grown faster than in any other previous measurement period since 2000. Yeah, everybody's going touchless. It's obvious to me how I've gone to football games this past weekend, and you know what? Here's a square. Tap, tap, tap. You are going across, and people are getting much more accustomed and much more accommodating to be able to go ahead and just, not even if it's with the card, if it's just with your phone, whether Apple Pay or Google Wallet, everybody's getting used to that as well. But that's the part where, you know, you want safety, you want compliance, you want to have, what you're doing is you're trying to help ease into a cashless society that we're already getting more familiar with. What do you think are some of the things that BFLI does that really stands out among any other solutions out there?
Yeah, it's a unique value proposition, right? So it's pronounced BFLI.
BFLI, thank you.
The name behind that is, you know, our company is called Monarch Butterfly, and then BFLI for short, just a short hip name, especially for the cannabis industry.
Yes.
So when we created this, you know, we really hold ourselves to a higher standard. And what does that mean? When we started this company, we got a money transmitter license in multiple states. I can tell you 99% of the people that are moving money in this industry do not have money transmitter licenses, right? So it was a very long, expensive, and arduous task. But again, you know, we started this. You know, my background is technology. This is not a technology play in cannabis. This truly is a compliant play. So we knew moving forward that if we're going to have a true mobile app, and the difference between a mobile app that stores money and a mobile app that doesn't, it's considered a stored value, right? So to have stored value, it depends on the state, you've got to have a money transmitter license because you're the fiduciary of that money. That money is literally sitting with you until that consumer chooses to cash out, right? And what most people don't know, when they open a Venmo account or a Cash App or a PayPal, they're actually opening a bank account behind the scenes, right? So there's lots of compliance around that. So, you know, cash is quite expensive that most dispensary owners really don't, you know, get into the numbers and really understand. We've estimated that the cost of movement of cash is somewhere between 6% and 8% because you've got security, you've got surveillance, you've got the security guards that sit there, you've got the cash in transit company that needs to come and pick it up, you've got the depository fees at the bank. So it's a very expensive proposition. Our mobile app solves not only the compliance issue,
right?
Because our banks are our partners. We own all of our own technology. We own all of the relationships with the banks. We're not going to resell someone else's service and be at the mercy if they're not in compliance, right? So it's all direct. And this is why we say it's closed loop, because all of the bank accounts that we have, they're FBO accounts for benefit only. We deposit that money on the behalf of the consumer. So it really is a true wallet to wallet solution. It's going from the purchaser's wallet, that balance, it's going back to the dispensary the dispensary's wallet, instantaneous, right? So you don't have to deal with the 1 to 4 day cash delay by the time the CIT company picks it up and you get the deposits in your bank. So not only is it easy, it's compliant. And, you know, we do something called demo days at dispensaries where we'll actually go for 4 hours, we'll set up a booth, we talk to the consumers and the purchasers at the dispensaries to get their feedback. So I can tell you this, everything that we've done, over 90% of the people that we talk to say, look, this is something that I would like to have. This is cool. I use mobile apps for everything else. I don't want to take money out of the ATM machine because I'm getting hit with a national average of about $3 every time I take the money out of the dispensary. ATM machine, I'm also getting hit with another $1 to $3 out of network fee from my bank, right? So it's convenient. Like, why can I use a mobile app when I go buy a yogurt or go buy a coffee, but I can't use a mobile app at a dispensary?
Stay tuned. We have more Blunt Business coming up after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. We're here with Christian Fia, the co-founder and CEO of Monarch. Now, with BFLI, obviously, you must have something that's pretty user-friendly for those that are going to go in or either go ahead and install from the App Store or Google Play. But talking about the integration with existing systems, point of sale processes, you know, that how BeFi integrates with dispensaries' existing payment inventory systems.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and it's actually the biggest point of contention, right? Because the POS companies, yes, they charge monthly SaaS fees, but the real revenue in a POS company comes from partnering with payment companies, right? So, you know, they're not going to partner with a company that doesn't necessarily have the adoption rate. And that's probably been our single, you know, biggest challenge is the adoption, right? People are not used to using a mobile app and linking their bank account in a dispensary setting. So it's kind of been the chicken or the egg, right? So we're in conversation with all of the top POS companies within the industry. And, you know, some of them are challenging to deal with. You know, they want a guaranteed amount of revenue that's going to come in before they do the integration. But the way to scale and the way to have this as simple as possible, and we're coming up with a new feature called the Count on File. It's going to be the fastest, easiest way to take a transaction within the cannabis industry. You basically walk up to the dispensary, says, okay, your total is $49.50. How would you like to pay? And you basically say, fill my account on file, right? There's no reason for the person. They don't even have to take out their phone. They don't have to scan a QR code. They don't have to authorize anything. The whole transaction can take place in about 10 seconds. So, I mean, that's...
And on top of what you're doing with BeFi when it comes to communicating with POS systems, but you're also doing something where you have BeFi will have a universal mobile ordering enhancement for making the dispensaries customers having a real efficiency in getting the inventory, and also finding a way to simplify tax payments for cannabis businesses when it comes to compliance with city and tax state tax regulations. So in that end, I mean, how much easier is the dispensary going to get by having this be the gateway into the POS?
So, you know, there's always the issue of taxation. No one likes to pay taxes, but it's a requirement. You know, we're actually pretty strong and pretty in the trenches with the local cities and the local jurisdictions, right? So we have a system, it's basically automating the entire taxation collection and processing service. Now, when we talk to cities, you know, their main pain points is, well, how do we manage all of this outside of the normal permits that we're doing and normal sales tax? Because we have systems in place for that. They don't have systems in place to automatically determine how much the taxes are for cannabis, you know, invoicing, how do we get that money? So the systems love, it's called the MTA, Monarch Tax Authority. And really it legitimizes and automates the entire calculation, the movement of the funds from the operator into our primary FBO accounts. And then we submit back to the city. So the cities love it. Because number one, it's a complete outsource solution. They're predictably getting money every month, right?
Yeah.
Before the MTA program, you know, they're lucky to receive the payments based upon self-reporting. Well, self-reporting is, you know, I could say I did $10,000 in sales, and really I did $15,000. And then you got the comparison. We're certified with metrics. So we pull metric data, we pull POS data, and we do self-reporting. So we really have these three buckets of information coming in, and we determine what that taxation should be and automatically send out invoices and collect on the behalf of the city. So
one of the areas you're definitely looking for when it comes to customers is transitioning out of cash. And I know more importantly for the cannabis industry, they want to be able to go more to a touchless, cashless transaction. You know, they want to really go into that environment because of the fact that the security of having to go and hold on the cash, the methods of even trying to go ahead and carry cash or have to go and take care of deposit, you know, bags or just taking, you know, and doing deposits, which you can't really do so much, or just a lot of regulations, red tape. You know, is it something where you feel like with a software like yours right now, with BeFi and with some of the other services that you provide, do you think there is a timetable where we're going to see cash no longer be a factor?
I don't think there will come a point where cash is no longer an option, right? I think it will be drastically reduced. You know, as I said before, right now, current statistics tell us that about 50% of the transactions in cannabis are cash right now. So, you know, the BeFi platform and the solution, we don't go and propose that, hey, you stop taking cash at all, right? This is just another payment method. And really, it's the choice that you want to provide for convenience and a great user experience to purchasers and customers. So I think, yes, with federal regulation, all of the numbers and all the statistics are going to be completely changed. I think cash is going to reduce dramatically. You know, some people just still like to use cash because they don't want a particular dispensary or the name of a cannabis establishment to show up on their bank statement or their credit card statement. So
correct. And that's the part where security comes in for also, you know, if people don't want to know what they're going to be doing, if, you know, if you want to keep it discreet, maybe they don't want to be known that they're going to a cannabis dispensary for what they're buying. Now, what is it that Monarch is able to do with BeFly with ensuring security of cashless transactions within cannabis in terms of the option of security?
So are you talking about security?
Only the app itself in terms of the credit cards, you know, what is it similar features in terms of the security that's being embedded in for those that want to store their credit card information in the app?
Yeah. So right now, I mean, we don't do anything with credit cards. We don't do anything with debit cards. Our entire platform is built on the bank-to-bank transfer of ACH, right? Movement between two banks. So when you load your wallet, it's not going to say the name of the dispensary, right? It's going to say BeFly wallet, right? Just like when you load a Cash App or a Venmo app, it doesn't say the name of the merchant. It says that you're loading a wallet. So there's a lot of anonymity and security built in there just by default on how walleting systems work.
Okay. Very important to know. Now, let's go ahead and talk about the issues of what you do outside of the app that we've been talking about, that what you're doing right now is, as we've been talking about here, also from Benzinga, about cannabis tax selection is awful. And there are several cities right now in the last couple of years that you have partnered with to help with cannabis tax collection and compliance. There was last year, it was in October of last year, that you made partnership with City of Lancaster, California. And this year, now you have in June, the Desert Hot Springs, California area to streamline cannabis compliance and tax collection. So talking about what was approached, because I mean, California, we know that Governor Newsom has talked about trying to go and increase tax revenue. That of course, from the local level, they're trying to also try to create that tax revenue increase. Issues with, you know, so many other areas when it comes to Cannabis Control Board, the issues of the illicit market, and the amount of excise taxes, additional taxes that are being taken on to be able to go and collect those. There's so many that they're being asked of for California, you know, dispensaries or for companies. So talk to me what you're doing right now to help alleviate that with these cities.
So the main problem with the city is organization and the ability to collect money. You know, I can tell you that, you know, the cities look at it, and I always ask this question when we have, you know, interviews and conversations with the city is, how do you know you're tax efficient of $10,000 or $100,000? And they really can't answer that question because there's not a mature system in place right now that regulates the flow of how cannabis exchanges, right? On a retail level, it's pretty straightforward, but there's just a massive discrepancy, especially on the cultivation, the exchange of cultivation and distribution, right? Because a lot of this stuff is COD, right? It's not being paid. I mean, within the cannabis industry, as far as taxation, there's about a 20% deficit of bad debt that's happening on the invoice level. So, you know, our system, not necessarily perfect, but it's a huge step forward in automating that entire process. So, you know, with our platform, the cities can come in, they can see what to do as far as receivables, you know, on the retail side, on the cultivation side. You know, self-reporting is a thing, but as we said, it's not accurate, right? Even metric is not perfect.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's a really a great system, but what we're finding is there's a lot of backdoor sales. There's POS that maybe don't submit every transaction. So there's definitely a deficit that's happening. Now, when we talked to the state of California about a year and a half ago about collecting taxes on the state level, and they said, look, sure, you know, prove your concept. And we didn't have the concept, you know, down yet. It was proof of concept. It wasn't a mature platform like it is today. They basically said, look, go get 5 cities under your belt. Come back to us in 2 years when you have proof of concept, show us the data, show us what you're doing, and we'll consider using your platform for the de facto standard in California of collecting taxes. Because that cannabis operator, they have to send 2 payments. They got to do it to the city and they got to do it to the state. So, I mean, our system does not help the operator reduce their taxes. It just makes it more convenient for them to pay them and pay them on time. Because what's happening is that these cities, from not getting paid, they have really, really harsh penalties. I mean, some of the cities have, you know, penalties up to 25% if you're one day late. And how is a cannabis operator going to pay a 25% penalty fee if he can't even pay his normal taxes on time? So I don't want to say it's a disservice to the operator, but our system helps to get that payment into the city sooner so they can actually reduce the fines and reduce their negligence. You know, the cities were only calculating, or they were determining you're getting those taxes on a quarterly or yearly basis. Well, it's too big of a chunk of change for these operators. You know, they can't pay a $100,000 tax bill, but can they pay $10,000 a month, you know, towards that? Yes, they can do that. That's management. And that's what our system does. You know, it's predictable and reliable income revenue to the city on a monthly basis instead of quarterly or yearly.
Stay tuned. We have more Blunt Business coming up after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. We're here with Christian Fia, the co-founder and CEO of Monarch. So just to give an example, the amount of taxes that California is relying on, obviously, because there's so much in terms of their budget to go and cover, but California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, most recently they put out that for the second quarter of 2024, their reported tax cannabis tax revenue, that returns were $263.1 million. That's $154.3 million from excise taxes, $108 million from sales taxes, and that does not include outstanding returns or returns that are still being processed.
Right.
And there's a lot there where they're trying to go and do that. And I remember going back as far back as for 2019, I remember talking to a Canadian-based branding, transportation, and distribution services that was working through California subsidiaries to help in that marketplace. And I remember going through what they were asking for at that time. Yahoo Finance put out an article about this, and I mentioned that the, you know, California, I don't know if it still is, but having the highest base sales tax of any state in the country, 15% excise tax of recreational weed, cultivation levy of $9.25 on cannabis flowers per ounce at that time in 2019, and then $2.75 on cannabis leaves. And then it would also be that consumers could be on the hook for an aggregate tax of up to 45% depending on the city. So in the two cities, Lancaster and Desert Hot Springs, that you work with, are what kind of tax system are they having to deal with right now? And I mean, are there other complexities that have happened in the last 5 years that you also have to deal with?
Yeah, when a city writes their ordinances, right, on how they're going to determine the taxation amount, what we're seeing across the board, it depends on the city. I mean, some cities are 5%, some cities are 10% on the retail. Now, cultivation's a little bit tricky. And the cities are struggling because they really don't know how to determine what the taxes should be on cultivation. So what they tend to default is basically saying it's a flat rate. Like, for example, they'll take the square footage of the actual grow and they'll times that by a number, let's just say 5, and then they'll divide that by 12. And that comes up with an easy monthly payment. Now, there's probably a better way to do that if they actually had the raw data that's provided by Metric or directly from the POS. You know, they can determine, well, what is a better model, right? Is it better for the dispensary owner or better for the operator to play a flat rate? Or is it better to do a percentage of sale? So it really varies usually by city. I mean, there's a discrepancy of, you know, 5 to 7% between the cities that we're working with on what they charge on the tax basis. So it really depends on the city and how they set up their ordinances. You know, and our system configures all and just determines what it is.
And now to keep the point, and statewide, they're talking about the fact that, you know, there has been a decrease from 2022 to 2023 of the amount of tax revenue coming in. It was $5.1 billion in 2023, yeah. And it was a 4.7% decrease. Now, with that, what can be done about that? Because obviously I can understand where there's a warrant for these cities to go ahead and look for things, because the other thing that was also taken into account is that there used to be a cultivation tax also levied, but that cultivation levy we talked about before was eliminated in 2022 as part of cannabis tax reform legislation. So even the laws keep changing as well in just in the last few years. And coming into this way, I mean, is it difficult to go ahead and keep an eye on what is being changed, because the laws do kind of change quite often, and what is allowed to be taxed also changes quite often?
It hasn't been difficult to us to keep track. I mean, we work very closely with the cities, right? And, you know, their ordinances, they do change, you know, on a periodic basis, you know, but really it just comes down to the calculation that they determine. It's not like, you know, a usual sales tax that you have sales tables and determining upon, you know, gross margins. And it's really not that complicated in cannabis as of today.
Well, I'm saying, Christian, if they're losing some of that because of the regulations, are they making up for it with other regulations on the local end?
From what we've seen, no. They're pretty lenient towards the operators. Look, they know that the operators are struggling.
Yeah.
The operators are very vocal. You know, usually the operators have direct lines of communication directly into the city manager's office or the finance manager to let them know what's going on. I mean, there's a lot of exceptions that are being, you know, given towards the operator because they can't make the payments or they can't make it in full. So what we've seen is there is a certain amount of leniency that the cities, you know, are imposing and trying to give the operators a way to, yes, you got to pay taxes, right? But they're trying to actually reduce them rather than increase them, which is a little counterproductive because if they're saying that, then why do you have these 10, 15, 20, 25% you know, penalties if you don't make your payment on time.
Right. Right. But now you provide a certain service right now towards these cities. And I'm sure there are other cities that prior looking at Lancaster and had this house brings and saying, hey, what's Monarch's phone number? We might need to call them. But well, I want to ask about the businesses out there. So obviously we talked about B-Fly at the start of the show, but I also want to talk about the other concierge service that you provide as well. You have software features that you have through Monarch with your products when it comes to tax manager reporting, web mobile e-commerce. You have, you know, a number of issues. But that area of state financial compliance and the tax management and preparation and reporting, you know, I wanted to go and find out from you, for those that want to make sure that, well, those cities want to make sure they were able to get the tax revenue that they are due, you also want to help companies at the same time, so they'll also be able to go ahead and report and send the proper amount of taxes they need to send out.
That's correct. We have an entire compliance engine that we have that was really designed like 3 years ago to actually sit inside of a bank. So it's probably 95% of what a bank is going to do, and we try to automate that entire process. So we'll hand the cities a complete package, and it's a long process per se. You know, we have a questionnaire. There's basically three parts to it. They got to fill out what we call a merchant processing agreement. Then we take them through a 12-page questionnaire. And then we actually will require about 6 or 7 documents to onboard him for money movement. So we do just a ton more compliance and background and investigation for the city that they would do on their own, right? And we ask cities, you know, how often do you do audits on these? How do you know the information that's coming in is accurate? And, you know, there's kind of a chuckle and a brief silence on the call. They would probably doing, from what we get back as far as feedback, they're doing somewhere between 10 and 20% of the licenses actually get audited, right? So it's just a wild, wild west. So we do not only the initial compliance, but we also do on a monthly basis, right? We will check on a monthly basis for negative news, for incarceration records. It's about 600 data points that we check on a monthly basis for these operators just to keep them in compliance. That the cities don't do. So it's another add-on service. We don't charge extra for that. That's included in the base fee that we provide to the cities.
Now, you were talking about your background when it comes to, again, over 20 years online working on areas when it comes to ACH, internet-based transactions, credit card, e-commerce processing platforms, all of this. And it's amazing what you offer through all this here. And like you just said it right there, I want to take that point and just highlight that. You said that the features are almost what you would see at a bank. So from that, you know, that is part of the thing where people could say, well, maybe the Safe Banking Act is not something that we necessarily need, and that there's enough of a complement of banking services by companies like Monarch that maybe the banking process is not necessarily for us to go through. I mean, when you have people that are kind of teetering on the idea of the level of financial services they could use, you know, how much can Monarch answer with those solutions you provide?
So we're a fintech.
Would Monarch be the bank, basically? Could it almost be act like a bank right now?
Answer your question is no. But when we actually started out, we were actually applying for a trust to actually be a cannabis bank. And it just turned into just too much headache, red tape, compliance, et cetera, et cetera. So no, we're not a bank.
Right.
But we're fintech. And, you know, our biggest limitation is dealing with banks. You know, I've dealt with so many different banks over the years, and especially in cannabis, right? If you're talking to a relationship manager or a salesperson at the bank, you know, they can do anything, right? Yes, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Well, 6 months down the road, the time you actually talk to the VP of compliance and realize you can't do it. So that's part of our frustration. So, you know, this is why we have over half a dozen banks that we deal with. There isn't a single bank that does everything we want them to do. So we've got to spread that, you know, services over different banks. The national average right now to open a bank account within the cannabis is about $500 to $1,000. So, you know, that gives you a full bank account. That gives you the ability to have a debit card, checking account. And frankly, it's too high. I think that's too high. I think the number needs to be somewhere around $200 to $250 a month. You know, to get these remainder of these operators that are just, you know, non-compliant. I can tell you when we did our last boarding of about 50 licenses in Desert Hot Springs, I can tell you about 20% of those people still didn't have bank accounts, which we were actually quite surprised. So, you know, even before moving money digitally through ACH, you know, we had to either set them up through cash pickup or, you know, what was happening now is those 20% of those people are actually, you know, we're working with them to get them bank accounts. So legitimacy is really, you know, the Monarch platform. It's just, how do we get the cannabis operator to think and act like and have services available that any other retail person has? And really that's what our platform facilitates.
So there have been companies we talked to here on Blunt Business and other programs here on our Green Peak program as well about cannabis lending. So there is a company we talked about that they offer their own end of compliance, monitoring, validation, and they've been able to facilitate over $20 billion in deposit transactions. Is that, you know, in terms of what you're doing right now, you know, the services that you provide, very crucial for dispensaries, and now you're showing up for several of the municipalities that you're dealing with right now in California, which obviously there could be more to come. But in that lending aspect right there, that's the part, you know, that obviously companies are looking to try to find without having to go to a bank. Is that something that Monarch might be exploring down the line? Is that something that would be a feasible next step in helping and providing the solutions that companies need?
It is. It definitely is. You know, if you're looking at the private equity companies, the private lenders, you know, they're hesitant just because of federal regulation at this point. Sure. Cannabis, especially if it's not backed by real estate. But look, this is, you know, this industry is very much like prohibition. You know, the same things happened with the alcohol industry. The same things are happening here with the cannabis industry. At some point, I can tell you, just dealing with businesses and how they loan money, the banks are opening up, the private equity companies are opening up. And because we capture so much information on the compliance side, it's just a natural, logical next step to say, look, we got a complete package here. You know, we've got all of these merchants that are looking for money. We're looking for legitimate partners that will do the lending. So, you know, we're not going to do the lending ourselves. We're not going to get part of that, you know, the raise and the funds and the equity and all that. But, you know, we'll definitely be a facilitator to help these operators get funded.
Now, without getting to anything, any particular, go overly political in this conversation, because this show is always apolitical, and that's honestly, that's how I like to keep this program. But I will say this, that both presidential candidates right now have been expressing that they want to go and do some kind of support when it comes to cannabis legalization. Obviously, on one end, you'll have that it should be a federal oversight, a federal, you know, a legalization. And then the other side, it's leave it to the states. If you had a good look at it your way, I mean, do you see where it benefits companies? If it was best, if it were done, where you went, let the DEA go ahead and come in and then offer the legalization oversight and let them go ahead and legalize, if that's what they are able to go and do as an agency. Or do you want it to be where the state-by-state options here, but with much more openness with banks?
Yeah, in my opinion, I think it should be regulated at the state level, right? The State Banking Act, if you really pare it down and extract what it's saying, it's basically that, you know, the feds are not going to get in the middle, reprimand, and do, you know, code enforcement at the city level, at the state. So I really think that to evolve this industry for legitimacy to happen at a quicker pace, I don't think federal regulation is going to happen for at least 2+ years.
I'm just saying 3 to 5 myself, but I agree with you.
Two to five. That's kind of where I'm at. So
the thing is, too, is that also I think you bring up a good point, because, you know, it's code enforcement compliance. You want to keep that at the state level. You want to let the control boards have it where it is. And also because we already know that in various markets that the rollout of cannabis in terms of adult use or medical, they're different altogether. I mean, they might have certain ideas of what they're in, and very like-minded sense, maybe similarities, but the truth is they're individualized. Let them kind of work and operate themselves. And, you know, I mean, the only thing is just that there's always that option where people will always say, also, if you try to make it to a larger argument, it's always the same thing. Well, how is this really benefiting people? Or how is it really helping people? You know what? I don't want to hear any of that. It's like I hear that comments on social media all the time, but it's like the companies that are out here that are busting it and they're doing what they can and also being, you know, compliant as possible. I know on this program, I say it all the time. I always say if you have to individualize what your compliance standards are, it's good manufacturing practices across the board. If it's, you know, for CBD, Cosmetics Act of 1930, that's the level I would say to go ahead and go above and beyond. We talk about it all the time. So it's like there's that part. But then again, letting the states go ahead and have their own compliance issues, their own tax revenue that they want to gather, because listen, if they want to go and charge more taxes like a California needs to because there's a lot of revenue trying to get back, well, okay. Gavin Newsom, you're saying $4 billion is enough. Need to find more. Well, you can find ways to get the illicit market brought down if you're able to go and do a little more work with companies out there. But I mean, obviously, for Monarch being in California, I can imagine. I mean, is it mostly California companies that you're dealing with right now? Are there any other states you're also servicing?
Yeah, we can take a payment. We can move money in any legitimate state. So, you know, currently we're at what, 38, 39 states?
Ah, so we're limited. So, almost all legal states right now. Okay, great.
Yeah, and that really comes down to the bank compliance, right? Some of the banks in the early days, they would only deal with merchants and operators in a certain state. Well, you know, we didn't want to have dealings with 39 banks, right? 1%.
No,
so really, you know, we were looking for universal coverage, you know, all over the legal spectrum. You know, luckily we have that today, right? When we first started, it was only, you know, you can only bank in Oklahoma, you can only bank in Arizona, right? Based upon their charter. So, yeah, we're any state that got legal compliance right now, we can move money from point A to point B. We can do it for B2C, we can do it with a mobile app, we can do it for taxation. So,
fantastic. So, I want to direct people to the website, monarch.is, monarch.is. Oh, this is an easier website. Let me know.
That's it. Monarch.
All right, monarch.is. So there's a couple different programs. We talk about BeFly when it comes to the cashless payment app that's available. You also have WalletCore. You also have a very serious when it comes to Disperse, which is for managing and distributing settlement and commission payments. You have the Monarch Tax Authority. You have demos for all these. So we just direct people to the website. And yep. For anybody else, take a minute really quickly to go ahead and talk about what people should know about when they go into the website and how you can service companies out there that are listening to the program and could definitely use your help.
Yeah, like I said, look, the Monarch platform moves money in a compliant basis, you know, but that's not, you know, that's part of our value proposition. You know, we're really trying to legitimize this industry and really from the perspective of the consumer to have them have an experience like they're used to in any retail store. And even on the merchant side, you know, we're looking to provide compliant banking through our partner of networks and to give them the tools that ease the entire payment, you know, processing hierarchy. And cash is complicated. The point of banking, which is an interesting way of taking transactions, it's called the cashless ATM, where you actually, if the amount is $50, they'll actually plug it in and you get $5 back. I can tell you, you know, if you really look at that, that's really wire fraud because it's a misrepresentation of what that is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our solution is something that these consumers are using on a regular basis in other locations. And it's an easy, friendly way to take payments.
Fantastic. I really appreciate you taking time out to talk to us. And this is great to go and go through the cash making process here and just go through some of the issues we have. But I think what you're offering right now is great in terms of also what you're offering to do in terms of all the different options that you have that we could talk more about when it comes to efficient cannabis banking. And I wish I would have even mentioned this fact is that, you know, your payment process solution for legal cannabis, that it's faster and cheaper for both industry participants to utilize, that, well, some taxation might come or might, solutions might charge as much as 25%. I should have mentioned this, is that you charge a 2% fee, a fraction of what others are out there doing. And so that's why you're becoming the industry standard for banking services in the legal cannabis industry. Fast and cost-effective solutions for industry participants. So I wanted to make that point across here. Your PR team does really great work of getting all the word out there, but I wanted to make sure to get that out here on the program. Christian, the co-founder and CEO of Monarch, I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us today. This was really great, and you know, best of luck and best of continued success.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the time. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, and thank you, listeners, for listening in. As always, go ahead and look for the show, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and we'll talk to you next time.